Next on BYUSN, here we go again. The landscape of college football on a path for more big changes. The latest details on what those potential changes could be. Plus, what does the perfect college football playoff format look like? We're about to show you!
Delaney Gibb and Sydney Benali of women's basketball join us to update summer workouts, why the program's headed in the right direction. And Trevanell headed to play for USA 3x3 basketball. Jimmer! Do we like the fit? And is BYU building a pipeline to 3x3?
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Wednesday, June 18th. I am Spencer Linton alongside Team USA Basketball court caretaker, Jerem Jordan.
We'll talk about Trevin in a minute, but how did AJ DeBonta, a highlight came out on Twitter that was unbelievable at USA U19 practice. He's got a hezzy from three. One dribble, throw it out.
Okay.
We've never seen a dude like this play at BYU. I mean, there are a lot of schools that haven't had a dude like this. At Saul_Bookman, which is not to be confused with Saul.
Some laundry on the court!
Some laundry, baby!
Yeah.
Pretty awesome. Can't wait to see that in the Marriott Center.
That move right there, I said it on the call this morning, is like Kyrie Irving with the handles and then the finish with Tracy McGrady. Like the combo move.
Giannis,
there.
One dribble to cover, what's 3-point line, 22 something?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I believe our good friend, was it Steve Pierce? Yeah, I believe Steve Pierce said.
At Post Jimmer?
Yep, at Post Jimmer said, when he does that in a BYU uniform, my head will explode.
His head's about to explode because he's a Thunder fan.
Woo! One win for the NBA Finals.
He's pretty excited. Meanwhile, our producer, Colton Potter, welcome back as of Monday from his 3-week paternity leave. He'll take 3 more weeks in the next 11 months, don't you worry. Is that he wants the Pacers to come back, but without Tyrese, injured, could play, but he's injured. It's not looking good.
Just give me Game 7. I want Game 7, Jerem.
I know.
I want Game 7.
We didn't get it in the Stanley Cup final. Shout out to the Florida Panthers.
We need it.
We wanted it. We don't get it. We probably won't go to Game 7 in the NBA final.
I'm speaking it into existence.
Okay.
Game 7 is going to happen in the NBA Finals.
That works.
All rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
As a proponent of the Big 12, you should take the 4-4-2-2-1. The Big 12 will likely get crushed by the 5+11 model. And what is the point of BYU football right now competitively? It's to make the playoff.
Right. We want this to play out on the field.
What's trending, presented by Tim Daly Ford, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. More changes on the horizon, we think, for college football, Jerem. And we'll dive right into that. The Action Network's Brett McMurphy, friend of the program, reported late last night on those changes coming to the college football playoff starting in 2026. Here is his full statement, and I quote, "Conference commissioners have decided to start over on determining the 2026 college football playoff format," sources said. Big Ten and SEC initially wanted 4 automatic qualifiers each, with 2 each to the ACC and Big 12. However, ACC and Big 12 pushed back. SEC coaches later publicly did not support the 4AQ model, instead preferring 5AQ plus 11 at-large format for a 16-team playoff, as did the ACC and Big 12.
Well,
he continues.
Well.
Okay. The SEC wants more value given to strength of schedule metrics,
of course,
something college football playoff executives discussed in today's meetings. However, a source cautioned, even if strength of schedule is supposed to carry more weight with the committee, it still boils down to their opinions on who they think are the best teams. The human factor, people. Deadline for finalizing the 2026 college football playoff format is December 1st. There's a lot in there. What do you take away immediately from this report, Jerem?
I like that there was pushback. What you heard from me at the start of this segment was, if it was this or that, then I would prefer the 4-4-2-2-1 model. But it's not. There was pushback. And so they're looking at it again. And I'm glad that the SEC coaches themselves were saying, no, let's not get this automatic thing, which is a bit surprising that they would say that. Like, why not have 4 automatic if you can get it? But it's nice to know that just because the SEC and Big Ten want something, they don't just get it. So I like this. I like the idea that we could go back to this. Now, there are 2 pieces to this, though. I think ultimately in a 16-team playoff like this, the SEC will probably get four in. But we'd like to think that the Big 12 and BYU could be in the mix more than they have been. But that's under the current constitution of what's been happening in the Big 12. Who's to say that will continue forever? What if the Big 12 suddenly has three teams that are consistently awesome and in the mix now? Now that two would have been not enough. So there are things to think about, certainly. And if you're a team like BYU, we certainly hope that the Cougars can start to build a situation where 11-2 last year was not a one-off, Spencer. It was more of, hey, BYU is kind of flirting, kind of K-State vibes of like flirting with 9-plus almost every year. And you have those special years like last year where you get 11-2 and perhaps you can get in. Last year, BYU would have been the first team out, given what they ranked on the final day.
Which was a joke.
Right. But we will talk about in a second what the perfect format could look like as you take a look at what it could have been, right? They had BYU at 17 in that final ranking. It'd be interesting. And I'm glad there was pushback, and I'm excited to see what they figure out, but they have to. My dad's from Asheville, North Carolina. Should I just send him to the meetings and have him report live from these? Back in his hometown, which is fun. They're talking about a lot of stuff, which we'll get into in a second.
Our mobile reporter, Jerem Jordan's father.
David Jordan, what up?
Nokia 9532 phone.
Probably.
Or whatever it is.
It's got a BlackBerry still. I'm just kidding. Sometimes I'm like, why isn't FaceTime working in 2025?
Okay, I want to clarify on something you said, so I understand. You like the idea of the Big 12 having two automatics.
If it's this or that, yes, because currently they wouldn't be getting in two. But, as I pointed out, this isn't to say that will always be the case for the Big 12. They could create more competition here. But as currently constituted, the Big 12 would benefit from getting two. They may not get a second in very often or at all.
A few other things I would like to bring up.
Other one.
I love that Brett Yormark pushes back against the powers that be. He does not care. Like, I love that there was this dramatic tussle behind the scenes with strong verbiage in the meetings, and that Greg Sankey and the SEC are just super annoyed
by the Big 12.
Like, I love that. It tells me everything I need to know about Brett Yormark, that he is fighting for the betterment of the Big 12 conference. He doesn't care.
Well, they don't want to kiss the ring, Spence.
No.
They don't want to acknowledge.
Or should they?
Yeah.
Like, fight for your conference, and he does.
Fight for your right to get into the college football playoff
party. Yes.
Party.
Yes. So I really, really like that Brett Yormark and his constituents continue to just fight the powers. Yeah. A little Rage Against the Machine on the mind.
The ultimate. Now testify. The ultimate fight back is on the field, though, is to produce multiple teams that deserve to be in the playoffs.
No doubt about it.
So that you don't have just the champ.
I do enjoy the idea of the Big 12 every year having two teams in the college football playoff, but I am more strongly of the opinion, and we'll get into the specifics of this in a moment, that you should just be in the top 16 and earn it. Just earn it!
That's assuming that the Group of Five team is top 16.
Because they would be a bid stealer at that point. Like, if the best group of five teams, number 18 or number 20, they're taking a spot.
Then it's the top 15 plus that team. Yes.
Yes.
So essentially top 15 as well.
Yes. So I actually am a little surprised that the SEC coaches move so quickly.
I am too.
They moved very quickly.
I don't get it outside of just being a competitor.
Until I heard this, the SEC believes that they actually have maybe a better chance of getting more teams in the college football playoff.
Meaning six, not the four plus a one at large?
Yes.
Interesting.
Like,
can we put up that graphic again of last year's top 16 there?
How many SEC teams would have been in the top 16,
Let's look at that
16,
again.
Right?
Because BYU going into the selection time was 17. Okay, so this is what it would have. So SEC teams, two Georgia.
Texas.
Six Texas. Mm-hmm. 10 Tennessee, mm-hmm. That's three. Alabama, 13. Ole Miss, South Carolina.
Six. Six SEC teams.
So that's why they don't want the 4-4-2-2.
It makes total sense. Like, why? Well, why would they move so quickly? Oh, it's because they think they can get maybe more teams in instead of having to give more options to potential bid stealers from other conferences.
That makes total sense. Great point. And if strength of schedule is included, like you read, then yes, then Alabama and Ole Miss with three losses would get in over a two-loss BYU in that situation. BYU would have been the first team out last year, and that would have been hard to deal with.
The strength of schedule was brought up by whatever source Brett McMurphy is using here.
Any SEC, anybody.
I'm gathering that's probably an SEC person.
Okay, so
they need a better metric.
Walk me through this then. What's your perfect playoff format?
I am totally in line with five automatic qualifiers and 11 at-large teams.
Four power four, one group of six.
You win your conference, and you can determine that however you want to, whether you need a conference championship game or not. In fact, I'm wearing the same shirt.
You are wearing the same shirt.
Nice work turning that around today, crew. Nice work. That immediate turnaround. Picture taken here.
You know what? I was completely distracted from the actual text on the graphic. Can we show it again?
Okay. Five conference champions, the four power four, and then highest ranked group of five, 11 at large. Yes, you pointed out that what if the group of five team is ranked outside of the top 16? Then it would be the 15 best teams plus wherever the group of five and their best is.
Group of six, respect the new Pac-12.
Now, okay,
that could be Utah State.
There is a very small chance that one of the Power Four conferences could have an absolutely terrible year, and maybe their champion is ranked number 18.
That's true.
And that could also steal a bid.
Let's be honest, though. I don't see that happening.
I don't think that the Power Four champions will be outside of the top 16. Maybe in a weird year on a very rare occasion.
Probably not.
What I do need, Jeremy, is I need a net ranking system for college football.
Agreed.
We have to have – there are enough metrics out there and enough smart people and algorithms, because we've seen it in basketball, that you can do it for the king of all college sports, which is college football, the biggest money sport. Why do you not have a metric like they use for the NCAA tournament with a human selection committee to be able to use?
And then they're like, well, we're just going to ask Grok and ChatGPT, and those will all be the different – nope. I agree with you. I would like a net ranking that's a sorting tool of sorts. Then we can go, that was a quad one win for BYU on the road at Iowa State or whatnot. This is a quad two game with Colorado because We could just kind of have more data points. I don't want like a million data points. Don't get me wrong. I love stats and all that. But yeah, I agree with you. Also, I would like to know what metrics they're using entirely. Like, what exactly are they looking at? In basketball, we know what the committee looks like. They have a team sheet. The coaches have it. They change their scheduling based on team sheets and those situations. Chris Burgess, Kevin Young talked about. They looked at Arizona. They had the same exact conference record. Arizona didn't win a big non-conference game, a single quad one non-conference game last year, and had a seed two spots better just because they played the games, not won the games in non-conference, played the games.
So that's why BYU has gone out and significantly challenged themselves early in the season.
Thank you, A.J. DeBonsa, and everyone that wants to see him play and this team too. I'm with you on that. Yep. Also, I want two rounds of home games, and then you can go to these neutral site traditional games with the 16. I don't want any buys. I want straight up.
No buys. 16 teams would be no buys.
No buys, right? Just straight up. But, like, can you imagine if BYU was a top 8 seed and they got a home game in the playoffs?
Taking on the number 9 seed?
Taking on the 9 seed, if they were the N8 seed or whatever. Or if you were let's say they were the 4 seed, Spence. They were that good that year. They're undefeated. They're 13-0, and they're a top 4 seed. And they would have two home games to the semifinals. That would be awesome. That would be cool.
So you want to take away some of the bowl games in the quarterfinals.
Well, you're right. I guess there's one. I guess the quarters, you probably need to insert that. It's just the first
better seeded team has a home game. There are no buys.
You're taking
away the buys.
You're right. It wouldn't work for two. It's one home game, and then you throw in the traditional.
Now, if you wanted the...
For some reason, we need to cater to those still. I don't know why.
Yeah. If you wanted the playoff to expand to 24, then we're talking about multiple home games.
We go to 48.
No.
No, you're right. It's just first round. Why do we need to cater to the traditional bowl games? Just money and tradition?
I'm gathering that the almighty dollar may have something to do with why those bowl games continue to be associated with the quarterfinals and semifinals.
I don't mind. I don't need peach. I'm not from the South, so I don't care about the Peach Bowl. But, like, the Cotton Bowl, sure. Rose, great. All that. Sugar, orange. Okay. We were just using simple resources back in the day. Rose, sugar, cotton. They couldn't come up with more creative names back in the day. Just, like, simple things. The Bread Bowl.
Tradition,
Jeremy. That would be a good one, right? Come on.
It's tradition.
What? Fiddler on the Roof?
Yeah, the Bread Bowl.
Tradition. And then
it rains. Tradition. You just wait for it to rain at the Bread Bowl. It's like, oh, soggy Bread Bowl. That's in the Independence Bowl, okay? It's Shreveport 2021. Soggy Bread Bowl of a bowl game.
Is BYU out of the soggy bowl game era? Are we out of that now?
Our question of the day.
I learned so much in that segment. Things I didn't know, even about myself.
Come on!
Yeah.
What does your perfect college football playoff format look like? At first and 12. With the Roman numerals.
I like that.
They say on X, 5 automatic qualifiers plus 11. Earn it on the field.
Yeah, for sure.
If there are 6 SEC teams that are good enough based on what I hope is an implemented metric that the committee will use.
Spencer, metrics. We can't just rely on one.
Massey rating.
Then it's BCS.
Yes.
Then it's BCS if it's just one.
Bring back strength of schedule, the Massey rating, the football power index. Give me all of it.
Yes. Just data points to use in the conversation of what you think. That's what I want.
I want to be able to say, what is BYU football's net ranking right now at week 9?
What were they in quad 1 games? What were they in quad 2? I like the quad system. It's not perfect, but it's better than stupid RPI.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
I don't hate a lot of things in this world. I hate RPI. Okay.
At CDShaw99 on X, probably hates RPI as well. They say 2 automatic qualifiers from each of the Power 4, so 8 AQs. And 1 G5 auto qualifier. Make that 9 automatic qualifiers and 7 at large based on ranking and strength of schedule, bare minimum 16 team playoff.
That's an interesting idea.
2 per conference.
Yeah, little even flow Pearl Jam there. That's interesting with 2 from each Power 4.
Greg Sankey's head might explode even at the prospect
we're
of
equal with the
considering
the
something
12?
Like that.
No way, man. If you do want to earn it on the field, then you don't do the 2. You don't do the 2. If it was 2, Spence, you now eliminate a Big 12 title game in my mind, and you just go 1-4-2-3 for the bids, if they did that.
A playoff to get in the playoff at that point.
Yep. But because the league's too big, Spence, we benefited from this.
16-team conference of
the tiebreakers eliminate you, like BYU. They didn't have a shot at it because of a tiebreaker.
Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram. What does your perfect college football playoff format look like?
Yahoo Sports' Ross Dellinger reported yesterday that members of a new committee of power conference administrators are exploring ways to overhaul a 365-day college football calendar. Mm. Put it in your Franklin planner that was originally built for an amateurism system. Amateurism, that's gone. College executives are reinventing a dated calendar to marry with the House settlement-related athlete revenue sharing model set to begin July 1st.
Yes.
Here are 3 specific issues at the forefront of this agenda. 1, choosing between a single transfer portal window in January or in April. 2, moving signing day up from December and February to August or even earlier. And a proposal to move teams' spring practices to summer. Would these changes, or the idea of these changes, be good for college football in this new revenue-sharing era?
I like a few of these, and I feel like, because they have been well thought out, that they naturally are intertwined. I am in favor of a single transfer portal window.
When?
But if spring football still happens, then I wouldn't want to do it in April. However, if they move spring practice to after April, then that makes sense. So if the portal window is in April and then spring practice starts in June, then yeah, sign me up. I feel like there's a natural flow there. What I hate to see is what happened to BYU, where a guy like Keelan Marion goes through the entirety of spring football and we're all bought in. It's
and then he's offered a massive number.
Yeah, and then he's gone.
Yeah.
I hate that. I think that's bad for the sport. I don't like the movement there. Not saying I don't want players to be able to move. So I am in favor of
don't like the timing.
A portal window. But I think the timing is terrible there.
Yeah.
I think it hurts the teams and it hurts the sanctity of the sport to a small degree. I'm happy.
There's sanctity in the sport still?
I'm holding on, Jerry.
Yes, we are.
I'm holding on.
Once the game kicks off, there's sanctity, but I don't know that there is before.
And I'm happy that a guy, I love Keelan. He earned the right to go get paid and to play at a high level and seek a better, bigger opportunity in his mind.
I was told it was seven figures, by the way. So it's hard to, blame a guy for seeking that.
I would rather it be like, okay.
If it's off.
Well, he's going and then practices happen. So
right.
If you're after the portal, like you're in with the team.
Yes, I heard Brian Kelly of LSU say, I want to know who my team is in January.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
Let's do the portal then, and then I can train with them all year. Like,
great.
We practice in the spring, and then the summer we're doing meetings and playbook and all that, and then we train again, and then we play. It is interesting. So I would be in favor of one portal window in January only.
Okay.
It is awkward, though, for the playoff teams. So I could see where you... The only reason I would like it in April is if they did move the practices
to June.
June, right? To later. Then you're getting ready. Do you you go June hard, you go July off, and then you practice again in August or something? I'm not sure how that would work. It is a little awkward because, let's be honest, the sort of fiscal calendar year now seems to be kind of July through June with revenue sharing and whatnot, as I understand it. Maybe I'm off on that, and it's January through December. But it's a little tough to sort of deal with that because in that article it also mentioned schools can now offer revenue share contracts to high school prospects August 1st of their senior year.
Mm.
So you kind of the dance that Dave George and everybody at BYU have in sort of trying to figure out, okay, what are we offering? What are we under the cap for a given year in all the sports, let alone in our one sport of football and so on and so forth, with portal windows. Signing day, I would love to move, by the way.
December and February are terrible dates.
I think that...
December stinks.
I would love for it to be like July 1st. I really would.
Okay.
Because I do want the coaches to have a break at some point, which is July right now. But right now, there's a bunch of dudes on their official visits. There's a notable five-star quarterback BYU's trying to get hanging out this week on campus, which is exciting. If that dude feels it and knows it, let him sign now. Let him sign now. I would love for it to be in this kind of OV period. The biggest recruiting for next year that gets done is right now, this month, for BYU and a lot of schools.
It would be entertaining to have, in a very short time frame, conference media days happening, then signing day, and then training camp start, like, all around the same area. So, like, mid-July until the first week of August, it just all football – all kind of in that period.
What if their offseason was January, February, March, right? They kind of focus on school, do the harder classes then, and then you get into this like, yeah, then you do kind of the portal stuff and signing and transfer and revenue share. There's a lot going on now. It's pro sports now.
I'm glad these conversations are happening.
It's pretty pro here.
I feel like it's really good that these conversations are happening. They should.
Yeah.
Everything should be discussed.
I don't believe in massive wholesale changes in my life. What I believe in is a million tiny ones constantly. Because then you look back in a year and you go, oh, look, I changed all these little things. We're headed in a different direction. I think that's what they're trying to do, and I like them.
Come on. Yeah. Told you we had a lot to discuss. We're just getting going.
It's June 18th. Why is it so juicy today?
Just getting going.
Join us tomorrow for a BYU Sports Nation Juneteenth special highlighting inspiring stories of black athletes from BYU and across the Big 12. Tomorrow, noon Eastern, on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
After the break, Delaney Gibb, BYU women's basketball star, and newcomer Sydney Benali
of
BYU Women's Hoops. Join us for an update on summer workouts and why the program is heading in the right direction. This is BYUSN.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
I just want to kind of grow on the season that I had last year. I hope that this year I can just step up, be more of a leader, and help our team win more games.
She's a complete player. She can shoot it. She can guard it. She's going to be a key person for us this upcoming season.
We're live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton, teamed up with Jerem Jordan. Just across the way, a dynamic duo from BYU Women's Basketball. They are star Delanie Gibb and one of the newcomers for Lee Kumard's squad, Sydney Benali. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you.
I know that summer workouts are a huge part of your off-season regimen, but naturally, because it is summer, we have to ask, what do you do besides play basketball? You do have a moment, per se, to catch your breath. Delanie, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I mean, I've been traveling like crazy, but I love Utah because there's so many lakes and so much to do outside. And so when it's hot out, I'll always be outside.
You're an outdoorsy person.
Yeah.
Okay, Sydney, are you joining the fun yet, or is that to come?
I've only been here for probably a full week, so just getting used to everything, the routine, and getting used to campus.
Okay, Sydney, tell us about yourself. You're the Gatorade Player of the Year in New Mexico, I believe, the last 2 years. Big-time scorer, defender. Why BYU, and what are you most excited about with this experience?
Why BYU? I feel like it's closer to home, and it's closest to the just Indian country. I'm Navajo, and so I'm able to just be an example for other Native Americans and just play at this next level.
Let's dive into that. You've talked about how you represent Navajo Nation, and now you get to do it at the college level. What kind of opportunity is there to represent Navajo Nation and now Cougar Nation?
I think it's just a great opportunity just to show my community and then be a part of another community is great. I'm just excited just to be that example and show that it's possible.
Delanie, I'm sure you've talked to Sydney and others about the culture around the team with Coach Kumard, and there are always some big question marks when you do have a coaching change, but you've told us you're all in on Lee, you love him. So what type of culture is he establishing for Sydney and the rest of your newcomer teammates?
Yeah, I mean, it's been great so far. Summer workouts have been great. I've said this before, but Lee talks a lot about excellence and just doing everything that we can every moment within the day. And so if we're trying to be a team that wins, we have to do everything right now that we can to get there. And so really just holding ourselves accountable, holding our teammates accountable, doing every single little thing that's going to get us to the next level.
What are some of the things that stick out, Sydney, as you come to BYU and you plug into this culture and new coaching staff?
I think just the girls around, they're close-knit and just trying to be a part of it through this first week, but I know it'll continue to develop. Coach Lee, he truly is a studier of the game. He's very direct in his coaching, and he truly does believe in us.
Have you seen his highlights from college?
Oh, I need to.
This dude was a baller. You need to check out some of the highlights. They'll be an SD on YouTube, unfortunately.
Okay. Yeah.
They're not going to be that crisp.
Granulated
they're
highlights.
A little old.
Wait, is that actually Lee? I'm not sure.
He had game.
He shows off his skills in practice.
He probably still does.
He can still shoot it.
He can still play.
Delanie Gibb and Sydney Benali are on BYU Sports Nation. Okay, question for you, Delanie. This is an important and fun offseason for you outside of BYU basketball as you represent Team Canada. So what's ahead for you in the near future?
Yeah, so in a couple weeks, I'm going to be heading to Chile with the senior Canadian national team. We're going to be competing in the AmeriCup, which is really exciting. It'll be my first time suiting up with the senior team. So
congratulations.
Thank you.
Amazing.
That's big time. How old were you when you thought that might be a reality for you?
Yeah, honestly, the first time I ever thought about it was the first time I was able to make a Canadian national team. And so
how old were
that
you?
would have been, I would have been going into my sophomore year of high school. So
just three 15, or 4 years ago?
Yeah, 15. Yeah, but ever since then, it's been my main goal, my biggest dream.
What does that mean to you to represent your country in that way? Because that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, honestly, it's like the best feeling ever to be able to represent a huge, you know, amount of people. And it's not only my country, but it's my family. It's my community at Raymond. And so I just get to represent, you know, such a great country, such a great group of people.
Obviously, the style of play is a little bit different at the international level. There are some alternate rules. So
I missed the trapezoid, by the way. Wish I'd come back, you know.
Yeah, what type of preparation does that take to get in the right mindset when you head to Chile and you're going to be in that environment with those new rules?
Yeah, honestly, I feel like I have a bit of a advantage because I grew up playing FIBA basketball. So it comes back, you know, it takes a little bit, but the rules come back to me. Honestly, at going to camp, the biggest difference was the physicality on defense. You know, it's not the, if you touch someone, you're not going to get a foul. Like, you can be way more physical. You can be a little more handsy and up in the offensive player's grill, which I really enjoy.
I would like that just in general for basketball.
Yes.
Sydney, I've heard you're a great defender, speaking of. What type of game do you have? What do you pride yourself on?
I do pride myself on defense. Defense wins championships. And I feel like we can get easy buckets off of defense. And as a player, I just want to put my teammates in the best position. So defense first for me.
And then I heard you can really shoot it. Do you pride yourself on three-pointers?
I would say, yeah, I can shoot it. But, yeah, I've been working on my shot lately.
And let's talk about the Native American Basketball Invitational, or NABI. Last July, you were the tournament MVP for the Rez Bombers. Tell us about the Rez Bombers and that tournament. And then I know recently you played in a tournament, scored 32 in the title game.
Yeah.
So you get buckets. No one that scores 32 doesn't get buckets.
Oh, yeah. So I've been playing with Rez Bombers for 2 years. And I believe we call it Rez Ball. It's just running gun. So it is a lot of threes. You can be down 15 and then a minute later you're already back in the game. And so it's just a different type of intensity, different type of style, and I enjoy it. It brings me back to my roots of Native ball and playing back on the reservation.
Hey, that sounds fun to me.
Love
up and
it.
Down, get some threes out, let's go.
Newcomer Sydney Benali joining Delaney Gibb on BYU Sports Nation. We asked you if you'd seen Coach Kamard's highlights, which is kind of an iffy answer. we'll let that one slide. But have you seen Delaney's highlights?
I sure have.
Yes. What's your impression of your teammate based on those highlights and now being around her for a week?
I see that she can score it, and she's a facilitator for her team. Yeah.
All right. I like that. That's a solid take right there.
It wouldn't be a Delaney Gibb interview without a question about one Yegor Demon. Next week in the draft. How are you feeling about his chances of being a high pick and obviously a great fit? And why is it the Utah Jazz where you want him to go?
Yeah.
Because that's where we want him to go.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I feel like everyone here wants him to go to the Utah Jazz. I'm super excited for him. I mean, he's obviously a great basketball player, but he's an even better person. And so I really think wherever he goes, he's going to be great. But yeah, I may be biased. I may think he's going to go higher than other people, but honestly, I'm just excited to see where he goes and yeah, the rest of his journey.
These projections in the 20s are just crazy to us. We're like, he's not going to be outside the top 15.
I agree.
And he's excited, so we can't wait to see where he goes.
Yeah. It's an off season of change. We already talked about the coaching change, Lee Kamard in charge. You have a new athletic director in Brian Santiago, though he's been around for a long time. And Delaney, I know this, probably resonates more with you because you were with Brian and Tom, and now Brian takes over. And then there's this push from a government ruling for NIL. And so how are you handling all of the different changes in collegiate athletics and specifically within the BYU athletic department?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have such a great supporting group. And so, I mean, obviously having a head coaching change is not easy, but having Lee as someone who I've known for so long, it's easier than it, you know, it could have been a lot harder. And so I think we just have so many supporting people that are there to help guide us and, you know, have our backs. For me, it's really exciting. I think there's so many exciting things surrounding college sports and women's basketball. And so I'm honestly just excited. I'm trying to stay present and focus on what I need to do today.
Yeah, I was going to say, Sydney, it's sometimes not easy for a new basketball player. And by new, I mean coming to a new program when there has been a coaching change. So how did you navigate that scenario when there was some uncertainty?
I think just first off, putting my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then with my family support, Coach Lee recruited me for a long time, and so I trusted him. And then with all these changes, I think Delaney said it best, just staying present and just with the support around us, I feel good.
Sydney, you fit in here great. You really do. Let's go. Tell us about off the court. What do you like to do in your life? Kind of who are you besides a basketball player?
Besides a basketball player, I think just coming off from New Mexico, we had our own farm, so I do care for animals, a lot of dogs, and just I think I'm an outdoorsy person, and just taking in the scenery of Utah is just different from New Mexico. I would say just as beautiful.
Have you talked to the president, President Shane Reese? He's from Albuquerque.
No, I haven't.
We need to connect you guys. He's a New Mexico guy. Yeah, he would connect. That's awesome.
There'll be a nice conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Also, people need to visit Santa Fe. It's like a hidden gem.
It's
a hidden gem. Sydney and Delaney, great to have you with us on BYU Sports Nation. You mentioned the word support. The new athletic director, Brian Santiago, has been very outspoken about how much support he wants women's athletics to feel specifically. So I guess I'll throw in a bonus question here in that light. When you watch him and listen to him talk about the power of women in sports, specifically at BYU, what does that do for you emotionally?
Yeah, I mean, I think Brian's great. And so to know that he loves women's sports and he's going to support us that heavily, it's really refreshing. It's something that's exciting. And so I'm stoked. I'm so excited for the future and, you know, everything that's to come.
Butts in seats. More people in the Marriott Center to watch this team this year. It's going to be awesome. Let's go.
Thanks for joining us.
And welcome to BYU, Sydney. Good to have you. Good luck in Chile. Can't wait to watch. Tune in to BYU Sports Station Friday for a special episode where we count down the top 10 teams in BYU football history. Number one's pretty obvious, but what's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? We've got it for you. Friday, noon Eastern, BYU TV, BYU Radio.
You will be mad about one of these opinions. I can guarantee it. Still on the way, where Kelly Ford projects BYU football in the Big 12 standings in the upcoming season and the latest updated mock draft from the just-mentioned Yegor Demin. Headlines on the way on BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
We are live back in Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. And these are your Wednesday headlines.
Kelly Ford released his Big 12 football projected standings for 2025. BYU projected to finish third in the Big 12. Win total of 5.5 conference games. Calm down, conference games. Ford has BYU with a 25% chance to match last year's total of 7 Big 12 wins.
Ooh, I feel like we need to discuss that in a future show, Jerem.
We'll have time.
College football insider Brett McMurphy reporting yesterday, the conference commissioners have decided to, quote unquote, start over on deciding the 2026 college football playoff format. McMurphy said that the Big Ten and SEC originally pushed for 4 automatic qualifiers, each with 2 automatic qualifiers given to the ACC and Big 12. But after some notable pushback from Brett Yormark in the Big 12 and the ACC, the most recent model included 5 automatic qualifiers and then 11 at-large bids for a 16-team format. The deadline for finalizing all of this is December 1st.
Yahoo Sports' Ross Dellinger reports members of a new committee of Power Conference administrators are, quote, exploring ways to overhaul a 365-day college football calendar that was originally built for an amateurism system. College executives are reinventing a dated calendar to marry with the House settlement-related athlete revenue-sharing model set to begin July 1st, end quote. He outlined 3 specific issues here. 1, choosing between a single transfer portal window in January or April. 2, moving signing day up from December and February to August or even earlier. 3, and a proposal to move team spring practices to the summer.
All intriguing, and if you missed our conversation about it earlier, go back and listen. Some NBA draft news from Bleacher Report, who have BYU point guard Yegor Demin projected at number 17 to the Minnesota Timberwolves in their most recent NBA mock draft. 17 feels a bit low. NBA draft gets underway a week from today, June 25th and 26th in Brooklyn.
Trevenel tried out and is now a part of USA 3x3 basketball's pool of players. He'll be on their second world tour coming up. He'll join and play for Team USA in an exhibition game coming up in Germany. Congratulations to Trevenel. We saw him yesterday at the corporate sponsorship team golf event, which was awesome. We're super excited for him.
Everybody needs a quick trigger elite 3-point shooter.
I think he'll be really good in 3x3. I really do. He told me no one's going to get mad at me for shooting a quick 3.
Exactly.
12-second shot.
Exactly. And the final program rankings from the USTF CCCA were released this morning. comprising cross-country and indoor-slash-outdoor track and field championship performances.
Give it to me.
BYU's men's program earned a number three ranking.
Nice.
The women's program earned a number four ranking.
Hey, top five for both.
Top
That's amazing.
Four for both.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
The combo ranking.
This is a running school. I keep telling everybody.
All right. Good vibes all around there. Question: what does your perfect college football playoff format look like? We'll read more of your responses to our loaded question of the day after the break. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation live at Studio B with our question of the day, but not before this gem from our friend at 975 Hans. Hans Olsen, former BYU and NFL football player, said, late night games, Coach Kalani Sitake got the answer. Who said, get me a Coke and a Cougar Tail and I'll be just fine. He offered that on DJ PK,
yeah,
radio show that airs in Utah. Yes, Hans said he's a treasure. Indeed, Kalani is. A Coke and a Cougar Tail, I'm good.
He might actually consume that pregame. I think I believe that that actually could happen in the locker room.
You brought up the question, is that the perfect combination for a late night BYU football kickoff?
Is that the perfect combination? It's pretty good. I mean, the maple bar is delicious. I remember...
I don't know if I could do that much sugar.
It's like, a lot of sugar.
I'd probably have to do a Coke Zero with the Cougar Tail.
Hold on, you don't think you could do that sugar? You walk in with like a soda at 9 something in the morning.
No. Never. It's always
zero sugar.
Zero sugar. Typically some energy element there.
I remember in 21, BYU played Virginia, and it was 66-49. That was a long game.
Got over like 1 a.m.
Bronco and the homies in town. It was awesome. I didn't throw away the Cokes I was drinking in the press box. I think I had 5 lined up by the end of the night, just pounding them.
Wow.
By the way, I worked the Red Bull soapbox race behind the scenes. I hadn't had Red Bull in years. I think I drank 6 on Saturday.
Wow. And
zero,
you're just
10
now,
calories.
You're just now coming off the caffeine kick.
Caffeine doesn't affect me. It really doesn't. I feel nothing when I drink caffeine.
Is that an indicator that it's a problem?
No. Yeah. No, I'm not a massive like soda drinker. You can find your certain shows on Hulu of local people. They may be... Who knows what's going on there?
Where do the soapbox derby races take place?
It was next to the Capitol, down to North Temple, right by the temple.
Okay.
It's
a great hill for
it. It was the easiest missionary work experience of my life. I talked to so many people about what is the temple, what is this, right? It was awesome. It was so fun.
The world descended on Salt Lake City.
Yes, it did.
Under the flag of Red Bull soapbox
and
derby
racing. And I consumed the product. It was awesome. I had so much fun. It was great.
Build on common beliefs, Jerem.
Absolutely.
That includes some Red Bull and some Diet Red Bull. Hey, let's go.
Hey, the temple's sitting right there. For the sister missionary, that's what it's like for them. Like, hey, look at this cool
thing
here. Let me tell you about it.
Oh, great.
It's awesome.
Okay, so
shout
for
out
you,
safety zone.
So let's for go. You, it's a Red Bull and a Cougar Tail for your late night college football.
No, because that's not available in the press box. I'm more of a Sprite guy in the press box.
Okay.
I really am. Yeah.
Our question of the day: what does your perfect college football playoff format look like after BYU wins all of those late night games?
Let's
of course,
go.
At Senior Monkey Face on X.
Okay.
What? You have the freedom to name whatever you
that's
want
the weirdest
yourself
name
to be
of anything social. We've ever put in the show.
Senior Monkey Face says,
all right.
10 auto bids,
okay.
One for each conference champion, all 6 group of 6 teams.
Oh, we're kind of...
Okay.
14
at large, so 24 teams total, like the FCS model. It is anti-competitive to give special preference to special conferences. They want to include every conference champion and go to a 24-team format.
This person must... I feel like... The person here really likes a certain G6 or FCS team. Like a BYU fan in
Mountain West fan
in a Power 4 league doesn't think like that, I don't think. So that's interesting.
Miami of Ohio fan here.
Really love the Tulsa Golden Hurricane.
Okay. Interesting take.
Maybe a Weber State fan. Who knows?
Jeremiah_Hale on X says, perfect college football playoff requires conference realignment, relegation, and dissolution of the committee.
Well, who's picking then? You want BCS? Like, what do you want there?
You have to have some type of governance to pick the teams.
You want AI to pick it?
You can't just strictly go off of like, well, the metric says this.
No.
Like, no.
No, one.
No.
No. A group of people need to come, and there need to be arguments and disagreements and metrics and data points.
So the people who have teams ranked between 14 and 18 can lose their minds for two straight months.
That's good content, let's be honest.
BYU probably will be in that scenario on more than a few occasions in the years to come.
It'd be nice not to. It'd be nice to win the Big 12, and then you're in.
Jolene Campbell, 65 on X, says, 5 automatic qualifiers plus 11 at-large, but with a cap of 4 teams max from any given conference.
That is an anti-SEC Big Ten thought right there, if I ever heard one.
That way the polls won't just load up on teams from one conference.
And ultimately, here's the thing. It's most deserving. That's why we like sports. You earn it. You have to do something. It's a meritocracy. It's not just like good vibes. It's like actual merit. So that's interesting, because what if the one conference is unbelievable?
Yeah.
Then they deserve the bids, you know?
What if you had a first four type scenario where it's like 18 and 15 and 17 and 16
play
for the final two
games.
Spots to get into 16?
That's interesting. I don't know that we have the weeks for this. Like in basketball, it's totally feasible. In football, it's not at all. Yeah.
I do love the idea of relegation, though, so much in college football.
Like it's a fun idea. It'll never happen. Like the reason it happened is because England is way older historically in soccer. It's like the United States is like, no, it's not a.
You weren't good enough, so you're banished to the MAC.
Can you imagine Rutgers in the MAC? Sorry, Houston. You're the AAC.
You're
again.
In the Mountain West, Houston.
We're like, and it stinks. Trust us.
Oh, relegation would be interesting.
It will never happen.
It won't.
In
too much money involved.
Major college
tradition
football.
Tradition involved.
Yeah, it's a fun idea. Don't get me wrong.
Weigh on X, Facebook, and Instagram. Your perfect college football playoff.
We stink on this show. Which show do we go? Don't say a show number. Tune in next Monday, June 23rd, for a BYU Sports Nation special. Looking back on BYU football's dominance in the 80s. We got guests Steve Young, Jim McMahon. BYU football back to the 80s. Part 1 airs this Monday at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. This is going to be a really fun show.
We wrap up today's show with a worthy elite voice of the day and fantastic rise and shout out. There'll be no banishing to the MAC. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Our question of the day: what does your perfect college football playoff format look like? At DNesbitt09 on X says 16 teams, with the top three teams from the SEC, Big Ten, Big 12, and ACC. So that's 12 total there. So each get 3,
mm-hmm.
and 4 at-large teams. Mm. 3 from each of the Power Four conferences.
Trust me. Listen, we like the earn it on the field thing, but for the Big 12, as currently constituted, that could change, as I mentioned. Knowing you'd get 3 in would actually be pretty awesome.
Okay.
But it is anti-earn it on the field idea.
Great point from Matt TX Colonel here on X. I'm warming up to the 5AQ plus 11 at-large model. However, each conference must schedule 9 conference games.
That's a good point. There's some that are 8 still. There are issues with other leagues looking at other leagues in power conferences going, why aren't you playing the same amount of conference games like this? Because there are those who won't schedule that tough in non-conference.
Yeah. Or at least, like, if maybe there is a bypass where it's like, okay, you have to play 10 Power 5 or Power 4 games.
Oh, yeah, that could work. It's not about league, just Power 4
contests.
Yeah, so
if you play 8 Power 4 games in league,
you just need
to get
the
10, you need
2
in non-con.
I like that.
Yeah.
There's no central governing system, though, here. It's all the Senate, and there's no federal. Like, there's nothing. It's interesting.
But everyone's collecting taxes.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare, elevated from at Nate Ricks on X, who says, 16 teams, 5AQ plus 11 at large, no buys.
We only had one that said non-16. It was the 24, the 10 plus 14, which is an interesting idea.
16. Top 8 seeds have a home game to begin.
Yeah, that'd be so fun.
And the 4 teams that had a home game this year all advanced past the next round, too.
Yes, they did.
The top 4 seeds all lost in their first game after a lengthy bye.
Mm. Yeah, and the weird seeding thing didn't help with it.
Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Shout-out to two players going to represent their country. One, Trevin Neal, who tried out, now part of USA 3x3 basketball pool of players. Congratulations. And then Delaney Gibb, who's going to be on the Canada senior national team for the first time coming up in a week or two in Chile. That's awesome.
It's difficult to do when you're 19 years old.
Yeah. She's a baller, man. She's really good.
She was one of our guests today. So our thanks to Delaney Gibb and her teammate, Sydney Benali.
Sorry, Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time. Dennis did not represent the United States, but he hopes to in flag football in LA 28.
For Jeremiah Spencer, shout out to Eddie Heckard. We'll see you tomorrow for our BYUSN Juneteenth special. Go Cougs!